It's good to be able to come together this morning to worship God, and I'm grateful for your presence, and I hope that our time spent in God's Word will encourage us this morning. We've just got through singing the importance of letting the fruit of the Spirit be born in our lives. And this morning, we're going to see how that can take place. If you'll turn with me to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, in just a moment we will take our lesson from there. And as you're turning over to Galatians 6 and 1, I want to ask you the question, are you spiritually minded? Are you spiritually minded? Are you a spiritual person? I think all of us here this morning would answer, yes, of course I'm spiritually minded. And we have in our minds some vision of what that is. If I were to say to you, are you spiritually minded? And you say, yeah, I'm spiritually minded. And then I were to ask you, well, what are the qualities of a spiritually minded person? You would tell me some things that you have in your mind as to what that is. It might be different for different individuals. Some, for example, might say, well, spiritually minded means that we come to church and we're present here in the church service. And so a spiritually minded person is someone whose attendance is real well. We might also have other aspects in our mind that we think is equivalent to spiritually minded, someone who prays a lot or someone who reads their Bible a lot, daily Bible reading. So I'm spiritually minded. We're going to test that this morning by turning to Galatians chapter 6, and we're actually going to look at the last part of the book of Galatians where Paul is going to tell us what a spiritually minded person is. And it may surprise us. There may be some things this morning on the list that maybe we weren't thinking about, because we have our understanding of what it means to be spiritually minded. And maybe our understanding is accurate, but maybe it's a little bit lacking. Because attendance is a part of being spiritually minded, and reading my Bible and praying a lot, that's a part of being spiritually minded. But Paul is going to have some other things on the list. And so, I want to talk this morning about Paul's statement in Galatians 6 and verse 1, you who are spiritual, you who are spiritual. Paul is going to tell us what it means to be spiritually minded, and he doesn't have attendance on the list. He doesn't have prayer on the list. He doesn't have daily Bible reading on the list. But he tells the Galatian brethren what it means to be spiritually minded. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Are you spiritually minded? Am I spiritually minded? We're going to see this morning that it might be more than what we realize, and that we need to be busy being spiritually minded. In the book of Galatians, there are basically three sections. In chapters 1 and 2, Paul is giving a defense of his gospel, from the beginning of the book down to about chapter 2 and verse 10. Starting in chapter 2 and verse 11, and running all the way through chapter 5 and verse 12, he talks about how that a person is justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. And then the third part of the book of Galatians starts in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13 to the end of the book, and that is a practical admonition for Christian living. And it's in this section from chapter 5:13 down through the end of the book where Paul is actually going to talk about what it means to be spiritually minded. And he is doing that to wrap up the book, to remind brethren, while it is true you're not justified by works of the law, how is it that you are supposed to be living your life? You're supposed to be living your life following the lead of the Holy Spirit. You're to be spiritually minded. Some people today, if you were to ask them, well, what does it mean to be spiritually minded? They might say, well, that's a certain way you look or a certain way you dress. Or spiritually minded means that someone who goes to a church building versus someone who doesn't. There's all kinds of ideas about what it means to be spiritually minded. Some people today might have the idea that somebody is really spiritual if I catch them meditating a lot. Maybe they're kind of just
Maybe they've got their sitting down, their legs are crossed, and they're meditating. That's a spiritually minded person.
Or someone who talks a lot about God or Jesus or the Bible. Different people have different ideas of spiritually minded. But this morning we're interested in what Paul says about that. And so let's talk a little bit this morning about what we're going to do if we are really spiritually minded. As I said, this theme starts in chapter 5 and verse 13, and we're going to start in chapter 6, but we're actually going to go back and pick up those verses toward the end of chapter 5 and put that in. What does it mean to be spiritually minded? Are you that way this morning? Am I that way? Well, look at chapter 6 and verse 1, and let's begin to see what Paul says about these Christians and how they need to be spiritually minded. He says, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual," and then he tells them to go do something. You who are spiritual, are going to go do something. So if you're taking notes this morning, what you're going to find in chapter 6 is, and we're going to go back and pick up some verses in chapter 5, you who are spiritual, you do some things. Now, if we're doing those things, we're spiritual. If we're not doing those things, we're not spiritually minded. Now, we might have our own idea of spiritual mindedness, but we're not spiritually minded the way Paul says we need to be. Spiritually minded people do some things. Well, what do they do? Well, the first thing that they do is, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. If you are spiritual, you will restore the erring. We're thinking, well, wait a minute, I hadn't thought about that. I thought being spiritual was just praying and reading my Bible every day and coming to church. Well, Paul says that the spiritually minded people will actually go restore someone who's fallen away, an erring Christian. Do you do that? Do I do that? Well, I let the elders do that. And the preacher's supposed to do that. I'm not going to call them. I'm not going to visit them. Read the verse again. Paul said, "You who are spiritual, restore such a one." We're beginning to see, brethren, this morning that spiritual mindedness involves some things maybe that we may or may not be doing, and it's a good inventory for us. If you were to ask me, well, Chris, what is spiritually minded? I might give you a very short list so that I could, you know, accomplish everything on the list. I'd give you maybe like two things. That way I'm guaranteed. But we're going to find this morning that the list is a lot longer. So number one, spiritually minded people restore others. That means you're going to have to know what's going on in their life. You're going to have to talk to them. You're going to have to go visit them or call them or text them or try to encourage them to come back to the faith. You're going to have to know who the membership is, and you're going to have to make an attempt to help them. Do we have anybody here at Warfield Boulevard that is floundering spiritually? You can tell by their attendance, for example. They're floundering spiritually. Have we done anything to call them or talk with them? Spiritually minded people do that. You are spiritual. I am spiritual if we restore the erring. James says in James 5, 19 through 20, that when we convert someone from the error of their way, we save a soul from death. We need to be mindful of that lost sheep. Yes, the elders have that obligation, and we would expect that of the preacher and others in the church, but all of us, when all of us do that, we might have a better chance of helping that person to come back. Look at verse 1. What does a spiritual person do? Paul says that you restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You are spiritual if you look to yourself. If I examine myself, if I make sure that I am living right, and I make sure that I'm not being tempted with the lust of the eye or the lust of the flesh or the pride of life. I'm trying to help others. I'm trying to save the erring and restore the erring. And I'm going to do that with a spirit of gentleness. I'm going to have some patience and kindness when I go talk with this person. But I'm also going to be looking to myself so that I don't make sure this happens. While I'm out trying to save others, I lose my own soul. You're spiritually minded if you look to yourself. Verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Paul is still talking about the spiritually minded person. You are spiritual and so am I if we bear one another's burdens. Spiritually minded people are mindful of the burdens of their brethren that are heavy on them, and they do what they can to help that. Again, it's like verse 1, we've got to know who that is, and we've got to go to their house if necessary. We've got to talk with them, or we've got to take something to help them. A spiritually minded person is not just living in their own little world. It involves other people. You see, we're beginning to see that on Paul's list of spiritual mindedness, there are things going on that we may or may not be doing. I've got to be mindful of my brethren. You may have heard this before, that in verse 2, the word burden that is used means one that is heavy to be borne, and in some cases heavier than the person can bear themselves. But in verse 5, Paul uses a different word that means a lighter burden, that which you can take care of yourself. So there are things that are so heavy we need help with them. And you might be able to think of what some of those things are. And then there are our own personal responsibilities that we need to take care of. And we'll get to that in a minute. But Paul says you're spiritually minded if you bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Yes, we have our own burdens. We might have our own health issues and work and school and this and that. But in verse 3, there's going to be some brethren that have some things that are so pressing on them that it's difficult, maybe because of their age or other things. They need some help with that, and spiritually minded people will help them. Is that you? Is that me? Paul says that's what a spiritually minded person is. Look with me at verse 3. Paul says you are spiritual if you have a proper view of yourself. But if a man, he's still talking about the spiritually minded ones of verse 1, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Paul is now talking about the person who is proud and boastful, and he's better than the other members of the church, and I've got my own little life that I'm living, and I don't have time to talk to you, and I've got my little circle, but I don't have time for your burdens, verse 3. And if you've overcome in a trespass, verse 1, I don't have time to restore you. I've got my life I got to live. Because I'm important, verse 3, and I'm thinking about myself in such a way that I am so important in this church that I don't need anybody else. That's not spiritually minded, Paul says. When you think that you're something, this is not talking about things like self-esteem, where we're made in the image of God and we've got to have a good view of ourselves. Paul is talking about the proud, boastful, arrogant person who's better than the other member of the church. You're deceiving yourself. And in verse 4, let each man prove his own work. Get out and live properly and be active in the Lord's church, and then he shall have his glory in regard of himself alone. We're not boasting because we think we're greater than other people, but we can glory in the fact that we're obeying God and doing his work. And not in regard of himself and not of his neighbor. So we've got to have a proper view of ourselves. Turn back with me to, and let's pick up a couple of verses in chapter 5. Turn back with me to chapter 5 and verse 13 with regard to bearing one another's burdens. Look at this. For you, brethren, again, in 5:13 down to the end of the book, Paul is focusing on spiritual mindedness. Okay? For you, brethren, were called for freedom, that is, free from sin. Only use not your freedom as an occasion to the flesh. Just because we're free from sin in Christ doesn't mean that we can just go out and live any way that we want. But through love, be servants one to another. Notice how that we are, notice in chapter 6 and verse 2, one another's burdens. Notice in chapter 5, verse 13, love one another. A spiritually minded person is going to be mindful of the other brethren, the one another passages. It's not just about me and what I've got going on this week in my life,
but one another passages. So I'm to bear one another's burdens and I'm to love one another. Spiritually minded people are mindful of other brethren.
Not just mindful, not like some passing thought, but I'm going to do what I can do to help them. So, through love, be servants one to another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor. That's not just simply talking about your next door neighbor. In this context, it's your brethren. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Biting and devouring one another, spiritually speaking. We just consume. So I've got to be mindful of one another's burdens and love one another and be servants one to another. But then also look at this matter of a proper view of self. Look at chapter 5, verse 25 and 26. If we live by the Spirit let us also walk. Let us not become vainglorious. That's the same thing that Paul is talking about in chapter 6 and verse 3. This empty boasting of self, where I'm all that, and look at me, I'm all that, provoking one another, envying one another. Spiritually minded people do not walk around with vain glory. Look at me, and look at how cool I am. Spiritually minded people serve their brethren and help their brethren. They're actually in the background, if you will, serving. They're not out in the forefront. Hey, look at me. I'm a prince. I'm a princess. Look at me. Vain glory. No. But we are in the background helping people with their burdens. We're serving one another with love. That's a spiritually minded person. There is so much. I wish we had more time, verse 26, to talk about this vain or empty glory. It is so prevalent today in the music industry, in sports, in Hollywood. This empty, hollow shell where people promote themselves and it's not based upon real value and worth. It's surface and it's shallow and it's immature. Paul says spiritually minded people aren't going to be doing this with their brethren. And so chapter 5 verse 26 goes along with this idea of a proper view of self. Paul says you're spiritual if you bear your own burdens. Bear your own burdens. You need to take care of yourself. Now, if you get into a situation where it's a burden, verse 3, that you cannot bear alone, we help each other. But we also need to avoid verse 5 where we just say, well, everybody just take care of me. I have a responsibility to take care of my spouse, to take care of my children, to work, to provide for my own food, shelter, and clothing. Bear your own burdens. Spiritually minded people do that. Spiritually minded people are not always looking for, how can someone else bail me out on things I need to be doing? Spiritually minded people take care of their own responsibilities. And when, due to circumstances out of our control, be it health or economy or something else, and we cannot do it ourselves, then other brethren, hopefully verse 3, will step in and help us do it. But we don't need to get up each day with the attitude of, you know, somebody's always going to bail me out. We need to teach our young people to do their own work, to bear your own burdens. Mom and dad is not always going to take care of you. Mom and dad's not always going to bail you out. Mom and dad's not always going to come to your rescue and put a safety net under you and always catch you. Bear your own burdens. That's what spiritually minded people do. We're in a society today where it's almost the opposite, and the pandemic has made it worse, where government will bail me out, and this NGO will bail me out, and this institution will bail me out, and this person will throw me free money. And all it does is just make my life worse. Spiritually minded people take care of their own situations. Period. And when it becomes, for no fault of our own, a situation that we can't bear alone, God puts in place those who can help us. Take care of our own burdens. And number six, Paul says, you know, spiritually minded people support their teachers. Again, still the context of spiritually minded people. When someone teaches us the Word of God, what does Paul say that spiritually minded persons do? Let him, the spiritually minded person of verse 1, let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. The word communicate here doesn't simply mean to talk with your teacher. It means to share with them, to give with them things that they need. It could be monetary support. It could be talking with them. It could be having them into your home. It could be helping them in some way. But spiritually minded people are mindful of the ones who taught them the Word of God and show appreciation and care and sharing and helping them in all good things. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 7 that spiritually minded people sow to the Spirit. They're mindful of this presence of sowing and reaping, and they're going to make sure that they don't sow to the flesh, they sow to the Spirit. So be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man, again, which one? The spiritually minded one of verse 1. A man that sows, that shall he also reap. For he, the spiritually minded one, that sows unto his own flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. Are you spiritually minded? Am I spiritually minded? Well, Paul says the spiritually minded one is going to sow to the Spirit. So what does that mean? Well, let's go back to chapter 5 and let's pick up this thought now. Turn back with me to chapter 5, verses 16 and following. The spiritually minded person each day that he or she gets up has to make a decision. Am I going to let the Holy Spirit, through His words, lead me? Or am I going to be led by my own personal fleshly desires? The spiritually minded person is going to sow to the Spirit. I'm going to make sure that sowing my actions, my thoughts and my deeds and my actions are according to what the Holy Spirit wants in my life. Well, what is that? Well, let's look at chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the Spirit, in this context, is the words of the Holy Spirit that are given to us in Scripture. For the flesh, that's our own personal desires and what we want and so forth, lusts against the Spirit. What we want is contrary to what the Holy Spirit wants. And what the Holy Spirit wants is contrary to what we want. There's an internal war going on here. And the spiritually minded person is mindful of that internal war and comes down on the side of following the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. So the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are contrary the one to the other. When I'm saying in my life, this is what I want, this is what I want, that is contrary to what the Holy Spirit wants. There are two opposing things going on here. And I must follow, a spiritually minded person is going to resist those fleshly desires and do what the Holy Spirit wants him or her to do. Look at verse 17. For these are contrary the one to another, that you may not do the things that you would. What does that mean? That you may not do the things that you would. If I want to do the things of the flesh, the Holy Spirit wants to stop me from doing that. If I want to do what the Holy Spirit wants me to do, the flesh wants to stop me from doing that. So I'm going to go do something, and this war is going on in between. Who is going to win that battle? The spiritually minded person says, the person who's going to win that battle is the Holy Spirit. I'm going to let Him lead me. So verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You would think Paul would have said, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the flesh. But he didn't say that. He said, you're not under the law, because he wants to go back and pick up that idea of what he'd been talking about earlier in the book, that we're not justified by works of law. Well, then how are we supposed to live? We're to live by
the words of the Spirit. And there is still a law. Look at chapter 6 and verse 1.
So fulfilled the law of Christ. Verse 2. So fulfilled the law of Christ. Verse 3. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfilled the law of Christ.
There's still law. There's still law. But we're not under the law of Moses, Paul says. What are we under? We're under this influence of the leading of the Holy Spirit. Not in some mysterious way, but as we let the words of the Holy Spirit lead us in our lives.
Look at verse 19. The well-known works of the flesh and fruit of the Spirit. A spiritually minded person is not going to be engaging in the works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. Now, if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to take note of the four different areas in which Paul talks about fleshly things. He's going to give you four areas of your life.
The first area deals with sexual sin. The second area deals with your religious life and who's gonna guide you or lead you in your religious life. The third area that he's gonna give you is your personal relationships with others. And then the fourth area that he's gonna talk about is what we might call incontinence or intemperance, a lack of self-control. So let's look at it. Number one, Paul is gonna list some sins that deal with sexual sin. Fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Now, if you have the King James this morning, based upon the manuscripts that it uses, the Textus Receptus, it adds adultery. But the first group is sexual sins, sexual immorality, engaging in sexual acts outside of a God-given marriage, fornication. Uncleanness, spiritual uncleanness, and lasciviousness, looseness, not being bound by restraint. Even uncleanness and lasciviousness also have a sexual nature to it. So the first group that he gives, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, deal with sexual sins. A spiritually minded person is not going to engage in those sexual sins. The second group that he gives, look at your text, he says idolatry and sorcery, or your version might say witchcraft. The second group of sins that he gives has to do with who's going to guide you in life. Are you going to be guided by God and Christ and the words of the Holy Spirit? Or are you going to go to an idol's temple and be guided by false idols? Are you going to appeal to sorcery and witchcraft and talking to the dead and that type of thing? Who's going to guide you in your religious affairs?
So he says, stay away from idolatry and sorcery or witchcraft. Look at the third group that he gives. Starting in verse 20, after idolatry and sorcery, look at the third group of sins that he talks about. This has to do with your relationship with other persons. Are you going to be loving and united with them, or are you going to be hateful and anger and strife and fighting and division and not getting along? What's it going to be? So look at the next series of words, eight of them. Enmity, strife, jealousy, wrath, faction, division, parting, and envy. Are we going to be angry and jealous and envious and strife and fighting and being divided with others? Spiritually minded people, number one, don't engage in sexual sins or thoughts. Number two, they don't go out here and get their religious guidance from things that are false and fake. Number three, they do not engage in, this next group are attitudes. Attitudes and actions of whether or not we're going to be getting along with people or not getting along. Spiritually minded people are united. They're loving, they're caring. They're not angry, there's no wrath, there's no jealousy, there's no envy. There's no trying to divide and be divisive or divisive, you see. And then last of all, Paul mentions the fourth group of sins, drunkenness and reveling, or your version might say carousing. Drunkenness, of course, is the alcohol that gets in us and we're intoxicated by it and we lose our sense of self-control. And so we're saying and thinking and doing things without control. And so we're intemperate.
We're not controlled. And then the word reveling or carousing is the activity that comes from being inebriated and drunk. We begin to go out and party in such a way that we are saying and doing and acting ungodly ways because the alcohol is talking, not a sober mind. So the last group then is intemperance. Paul says, if you engage in these things, that's not spiritually minded. And then he even says, such like. It's not meant to be an exhaustive list. The Holy Spirit is smart. He knows that down the road people will say, well, I can do something if it's not on the list. Such like, even things that are like that. Things that are like what has just been talked about. Those things are wrong, even though they're not specifically mentioned. Spiritually minded people don't do those things. And Paul says that I forewarned you, even as I did, that though they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot engage in those things. But, and here's the contrast, a spiritually minded person, but the fruit of the Spirit, which we sang about this morning, is these things. Now, just like we grouped some things together, let me talk about three groups involving the fruit of the Spirit. There are nine mentioned here, and they can be divided into three groups of three. The first three, there's an emphasis on our relationship with God, loving God, and having the joy and the peace that comes from being right with God. So love, joy, and peace. The second group has to do with our relationship with other people. Long-suffering, kindness, and goodness. I'm going to be long-suffering with others, kind to others, good to others. And then the last three, there's an emphasis on my relationship with myself. I'm going to be faithful or trustworthy. I'm going to be meek. I'm going to be in self-control. My relationship with God, my relationship with others, and my relationship with self. Spiritually minded people sow these things. And so look at verse 23. Against such, that is these nine good things from the Spirit, there is no law. Meaning there's no law from Christ or other, from man or otherwise, forbidding these things or against these things. These are good things to do. There's no law against these things. These things need to be in our life. And look at verse 24. They that are of Christ have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. Spiritually minded people are not sinning every day. They're not engaged in sin every day. They've crucified the flesh with the passions and the lust thereof. When someone says they sin every day, I realize that portrays an element of humility and humanness, and I'm just a human and all of that. But Paul is saying that life is to be crucified and set aside. And Paul says, they that are of Christ Jesus, if we claim to belong to Christ Jesus, we have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lust thereof. Might we sin occasionally from time to time? John says that is the case. But to just be sinning all day long and every day, that's not spiritually minded. Look at the very next verse. If we live by the Spirit let us also walk. Paul uses a special word here in verse 25. If you go back to chapter 5 and verse 16, walk by the Spirit, he uses a word there that means what we would say, living by the Spirit. Each day we walk by the Spirit, verse 16. The general living by the words of the Holy Spirit. But when you come down to verse 25, he uses a different word. He uses a word that literally means to walk in a row, to walk one person right in front of the person. It's more narrow. It's more specific. In other words, verse 25, when we walk by the Spirit, we are literally being very careful to walk in bounds each and every day. Exactly the way the rules of the Holy Spirit are. Being spiritually minded is not just some generic, I'm sort of just generically a good person. Spiritually minded, Paul says, is you are literally walking in step exactly in a row, exactly the way the Holy Spirit wants you to walk. Is that a tall order? Yes.
Can it be done? Absolutely, and it must be done. That's spiritually minded, brother. And so, when we do all of that, verse 8 of chapter 6, we will reap eternal life. Let's keep going and then we'll close. If you're spiritual, you will not grow weary. In verse 9, we won't give up. There's going to be hardships, there's going to be problems, there's going to be issues. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Spiritually minded people are stalwart. They are convicted all the way to the end, and they do not give up. Verse 10, if you're spiritually minded, you will do good unto all men, and so will I. So then, as we have opportunity, we who, the spiritually minded ones, as we have opportunity, let us work that which is good toward all men, especially toward them that are of the household of the faith. So, whether they're in the church or not, they might be outside of the church. And moving forward in our country, we're going to have more and more opportunities to do that. There's going to be more and more poor, more and more needy, more and more people that are sort of on the fringe of society. And Paul says that spiritually minded people do good toward all of them. Rick and Melissa were just telling me the other day that they don't want me to advertise their good works, but they were saying to me about putting some bags together for the homeless. Would you do that? Would I do that? Will we do anything? Verse 10. Do good toward all men. Let each of us find something. We don't have to advertise it. We don't have to tell people what we're doing, but do good unto all men. I'm going to have to get out of my world and my little compartment. And I'm going to have to be mindful of people outside the church and then to those that are of the household of the faith, even my own brethren. That's what it means to be spiritually minded. And it means that I'm a Christian. Chapter 6 and verse 16. Paul goes back to talking a little bit about what he had done before in the book, where there were certain Jews who were demanding circumcision. And he comes down to verse 15, for neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. This is a person who's a Christian. Spiritually minded people are people who have been baptized into Christ. They are new creatures in Christ. I'm not spiritually minded until I've been baptized into Christ. And when I put on Christ in baptism, 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm a new creation. That's what it means to be spiritually minded. The reason I mention this is today I'm hearing a lot about younger people are saying this. I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. In other words, I have this general thought about God and this higher being up there, and sometimes I think about that higher being up there when I'm, you know, at work or something. But I don't go to church anywhere. I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. Look at verse 16. I'm spiritual when I'm a new creature in Christ, when I've been baptized into Christ, and I'm a faithful Christian in a local church. Spiritual mindedness is not just some vague thing about some higher being. It's, I have obeyed the gospel, and I'm a faithful Christian. And then last of all the way down at the very end of the chapter, and we'll close, even at the very end of what Paul is saying, he wants to get in one last point, and Paul says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. Spiritually minded people are those who let the Lord's grace and His words into their spirit. Now the word spirit here is your own personal spirit, your own heart, your own mind, your own attitude. You've got to let the Lord in, and so do I. That's what it means to be spiritually minded. I believe Paul closed this letter this way for a very important reason. When you read the book of Galatians, it's very polemical, meaning Paul is arguing a point. He's defending the gospel against those who are teaching things that are wrong. They're teaching another gospel, Galatians 1, 6 through 9. It's very combative, debative,
polemical in nature. And Paul does not want these brethren at Galatia to get some idea that this is sort of a, this is a book, it's kind of like a preacher's fuss, you know. It's just sort of a book for preachers and they kind of wrangle around on whether or not you ought to be circumcised or not. Paul closes this book with saying, I want to be very practical about what it means to be a spiritually minded Christian. Here are the daily walk things you need to do. Help the brother to be restored. Look to yourself. Bear one another's burdens. All of these things that we've talked about.
Christianity is not just polemical and a debate. It's practical to be lived throughout our life. And we've got to let the Lord all the way into our innermost part. And that statement, often Paul says, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. He says that several times, but that's not what he says here. He says, be with your spirit. Let it get into your innermost being and change you and change me. And that's what it means to be spiritually minded. Brethren, let's go out and be that spiritually minded person that Paul talks about. And we know in doing so that we can reap that eternal life. It may involve us getting more active. It may involve us changing our thinking, our list of what it means to be spiritual. But that's why we're given the Word of God. It is a challenge. It is a raising of the bar. It does move us from a comfortable lifestyle to that which is more active. I know. But it's what Paul would want. It's what the Lord wants. Let that, all of that, into our inner spirit right now. And if that means beginning to come and obey the gospel, to be that new creature, or coming back in some way, if we can help in any way, Jesus is softly and tenderly calling. Accept that call today. Why won't you come as we stand and sing?